What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and it's been so amazing to get to connect with you as Transformed listeners. Honestly, every week I probably get 6 to 10 emails, and I try to at least give you a brief thought. I saw many of you at the ACBC conference this week, and I know the timing of this episode. You may think, wait a minute, that was a month ago. It's like, yeah, but it was so good. You stopped by the Master's University booth and introduced yourselves. It's just been great, guys. So thank you so much. Today we're going to pick up with contentment, part 2, but how do we balance ambition and how do we balance ensuring that we're not lazy, idle, short-sighted, but also where is the line of I'm like overly ambitious and I can't sit still? Or where is the line of, you know what, I really do need to step up my game just a little bit. I also have a family worship success story I'll share with you at the beginning of our second segment. But again, thank you for stopping by the table at ACBC. Many of you were saying how much lies my therapist told me has impacted you or impacted those around you. I'll share in a future episode, one of my former students at Liberty actually wrote in and shared with me today how the book is making an impact at Liberty. So the Lord is so kind, guys. Like, we're just so grateful for His work, and it's really all for His glory. And just pray that we could be faithful to making much of Christ and all of this. So contentment. Contentment. If you have not listened to the last episode, I would encourage you, press pause, go back, listen to the first episode, because I do try to write these in such a way where if you don't have the first, it really does kind of like short circuit things to jump immediately into the second. But contentment. Jeremiah Burroughs, English Puritan, said, "Sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit, which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition." Just consider a couple of things, and I highlighted this last episode. First of all, an attitude or a frame of spirit. You know, we want to think of contentment as an internal reality, not an external reality. I am submitted to, but delighting in God's will. When I say that, even as I say that, it's like, oh man, that sounds nice. Submitted to and delighting in God's will. So Burroughs actually gave us 2 overarching categories for how you do that. He said that first of all, you have to work in the duties in your immediate circumstances. In the last episode, I said, remember that you have to be faithful where you are. Philippians 2, 12 and 13, that God actually uses your obedience, spirit-filled, God-enabled obedience. You cannot bear fruit without Jesus, John 15, 5. But God uses that obedience in order to help you be fruitful and faithful. But He also gives another aspect, which is taking heed to your thoughts. I'll end in our second segment really with trying to do that well, taking heed of your thoughts, some specific recommendations on how to do that. Things that I've learned in myself and also things that I've learned in discipling and counseling others. How do we take heed of our thoughts? But let me actually pose a question for you and kind of introduce the balance of ambition and contentment. Okay, as I record this episode, I'm 39. Many of you will ask, Dr. Gifford, how old are you? You act like an 80-year-old. And it's like, no, man, I'm 39. Despite my back issues, what if I worked at Burger King part-time? I could barely afford to pay for myself, you know, groceries, rent. I wasn't serving meaningfully at church, and I was using a lot of my free time to play video games online. I'm not trying to create a stereotype here, but like, what if that was my life? I would doubt many of you would subscribe to Transformed. You know, like there's some personal barriers for you in that. You're thinking something like, yeah, hey, this guy's not meaningfully engaged in his local church. He works part-time at Burger King, like he's not the manager of the franchise. He fritters away his time like something's up with this dude. And I would say, yeah, totally. Like, what's the issue there? What's going on? You would say, hey, Gifford, you should actually plan a little bit more and you need to be a little more thoughtful about your future. You need to actually have goals and then to reverse engineer toward those goals. Ambition is missing in that scenario. I have no ambition. But I could say, hey, well, technically, I'm really content. I just get to go in and work as little as possible, make as little as possible to squeak out a life. I'm content. I'm happy with that in my Burger King part-time existence. Okay, this isn't a slam on all Burger King workers because I actually think some are, they're advancing their own personal lives to the glory of God. They're being faithful or you have like high school jobs or entry-level positions. And this is just a season, not a lifestyle. But for me in that situation, you would say like, hey, Gifford, you really do need to move on. It is not okay for you to be content in that situation. Why not? Yes, that is the question. Why not? Okay, Romans 15. Let's look at verse 20. Why do we actually like to be ambitious? Why is ambition good? And why can the wrong type of contentment, the wrong type of a lackadaisical approach to your circumstances, why can that actually be wrong? So let me show you something here. Ambition is not a crime, and I would even argue that ambition, and I'm not saying selfish ambition yet, but ambition in and of itself is noble when it is directed toward the right things. Romans chapter 15, remember Paul's plans. He says, and in this way, I make it my ambition to proclaim the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. What's his ambition? His ambition is to proclaim the gospel. That's his ambition. But Paul has ambitions. That's pretty noteworthy. As he wrote this letter, he had not been to Rome yet. We know that he goes there. He is in Corinth, and he sends, I think it's Phoebe in chapter 16 that is from the area. Yeah, Phoebe, chapter 16, verse 1. She's from Centuria. So she's actually going to go from the area where Corinth is located to Rome to deliver this letter. I want to come to you guys, and I want to see you en route to Spain. So we know that he does go there. We know that he goes there at least twice for two Roman imprisonments, but he has an ambition. Note that. That word ambition is also used in 2 Corinthians 5:9. And if you have a Bible, turn over there. It depends on the translation that you're using, but I'm reading currently from the Legacy Standard Bible. Usually I'll rotate back and forth between the LSB and the ESV. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Same term. It is our ambition to please God. What? We make it our ambition that whether we're dead or alive, that Christ would be honored in our life. That's it. That's it. So Lord, you take me to live as Christ, to die as gain. It's all for him. It's all for his glory. That's what Paul is arguing for. That's his ambition. One other time he says it, 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and this is not just him, this is the use in the entire New Testament. He says, make it your aspiration or your ambition to live a quiet life. And that doesn't mean like take the monk status, you know? Although some of us with young kids were like, hey, this is what it means, kids, quiet game for 15 years. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you. You're not disturbing the peace. You're not depending on others to provide for you. You're not a person that has to be the loud center of attention in every context. Live a quiet life, be faithful, work with your hands, eat your own bread. 2 Thessalonians 3:12. Okay, what does that term actually mean? That you aspire toward with a focus on the idea of rendering service. This is BDAG, Biblical Lexicon. You are aspiring to the glory of God. You're aspiring, this is 2 Corinthians 5:9, that God would be pleased. Romans 15:20 is great news because Paul has ministry aspirations. Ambition is not a sin whenever it is for the glory of God, but whenever it becomes for self-exaltation, it is no longer ambition, but it is selfish ambition. Philippians 1:17, there are individuals that preach the gospel from selfish ambition. Philippians 2:3, don't do anything from selfish ambition. James 3:14 and 16, wisdom from below is identified as being selfish ambition or divisiveness, sometimes just translated as selfishness. How do you know if you're being ambitious for the glory of God or ambitious for yourself? Well, who are you exalting? Who are you trying to exalt? If you're trying to exalt yourself, if you're trying to exalt your comfort, your money, your family first, then you know this is selfish ambition. And that leads to all of the problems of James 3, the divisions, the anarchy, this harvest of unrighteousness. But if you are trying to make plans to be ambitious for the glory of God, then that is good ambition. So you could say it another way, and this is a John Piperism, you have a holy discontent. You are not satisfied to work at Burger King and not use your gifts maximally to the glory of God. You have a holy discontent. We do not want to be putzes for Jesus. We do not want to fail to use our gifts for the glory of God to the maximum ability that we have. So let's not confuse contentment and laziness. But we have to take a short break. Jimmy, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir, and when we come back, I'll give you strategies for contentment. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Greg Gifford in just a moment. And I don't know about you, when he mentioned that Burger King example, I had to smile a little, but I also winced a little too, because that's relatable, isn't it? The idea that contentment is sometimes just a nice word that we hide behind laziness. I have my hand raised. I'm guilty, because I know what Greg is getting at is that biblical contentment is not something that's passive. It's not sitting on your hands. It's submission, and it's also movement toward obedience. And you know what? That's not just the kind of teaching you're going to get with Dr. Greg Gifford here on Transform. That's the kind of teaching you get with Dr. Greg Gifford every time you listen to him speak, especially as he teaches in his classroom at the Masters University, where he is an assistant professor of biblical counseling, helping train the next generation of biblical counselors. So the same clarity that you hear here, he's pouring that into students every day who will be doing this kind of work all over the world. So if you have a high school senior, or maybe you're looking to go back to school and you want to be trained by the best biblical counselors in the world, I would appoint you to the Masters University. You can get more information right now at masters.edu/transform. And if what you're hearing here is helping you think biblically about ambition and about work and even your own rest, check out Fortis Plus if you haven't done that just yet. Completely free, no obligation, no paywalls, no signups, just solid content from voices like Dr. Gifford and Dr. Tyson, Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bigney, Libby Clawson. Hundreds of hours of audio and video content already available right now, sitting for you to consume at Fortis Plus, but it's not static content. We're adding to it every single day. You can download the app right now on your smartphone or on your smart TV, absolutely free, or you can head over to fortisplus.org. And if you believe in what we're doing here, which is training believers to think biblically and to live faithfully, would you consider standing with us? Gospel partners are the reason that Fortis Plus is absolutely free. It's the reason that Transformed and all of our other broadcasts continue going week after week after week. If you're faithfully giving to your local church and you have the margin to stand with us, we would be honored to link arms with you. You can find more information out right now about what it would look like in your life to do just that at fortisinstitute.org. All right, now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, thank you, Jimmy. Thanks for your resources. For those of you that don't know, Jimmy and I got to see each other recently whenever I was out in Alpharetta, and it had been like a reunion after 2 years, so I don't want to confess it, but I just have to say, I cried when I saw Jimmy. And he said, Greg, please stop hugging me. So, you know, that's all right. We're working through some things. Okay, so back to ambition and contentment. Remember, contentment, sweet, quiet, gracious frame of spirit. Yes, we submit to and delight in God's will. But that is not to take away that you should have ambitions for the glory of God. Your aspiration is to live a quiet life that's pleasing to Him. You are focusing on rendering service to Him. So if you are being lazy and you have no plans to glorify God, that's not contentment and that's not commendable. It doesn't mean, you know, some of you are not, you're not teachers who are planning your way 4 years out. Totally fine. You don't have to be that way. Some of you are not type A's, meaning you got a calendar for your calendar. You know, you have like two cell phones in your pocket right now. Some of you are not that way, and that's totally fine. But all of us actually have an aspiration to be fruitful for the glory of God. We want our lives to count and to matter. And that means that we make plans in ministry to glorify the Lord. Who or what are you ambitious for? And if you are a type A, but you're trying to exalt your career, your money, you're trying to retire as soon as possible so you can just have the good life, the easy life, man, you're messing up. You're gonna pierce your soul with many pangs, 1 Timothy 6. That's destructive. So we want to be content. We want to be ambitious. Let's try to get that right. So what is that balance between contentment and yet a holy discontent, or we are ambitious for the glory of God? Okay, let's finish in this segment by, first of all, I want to share a testimony with you just briefly about a family worship success story. So I love to hear these success stories. One wife wrote in and said, "We're relatively recently married and have just made the transition to first-time parents. At the same time, we're dealing with job loss, medical stress, and a lot of miscellaneous bills. It would be so easy for each of us to retreat into ourselves at the great detriment to our marriage, but having a consistent time of family worship has been imperative to protecting our union. Not only are we spending time in the Word, we're praying for each other, which includes sharing our hearts with each other. I am convinced," and catch this last statement, "I am convinced that family worship has been the best thing we've done as a married couple." Good for you guys. I would love to take credit for that, but that was not my idea. They were just simply sharing what they had already been doing. So if you have a family worship success story, please send it my way. I would love to continue to encourage Transform listeners to just excel all the more. So family worship, praise the Lord. God honors men that are leading their wives in the Bible, and this is just one way to do it. So contentment. How do you translate ambition, a holy discontent? How do you translate all of that practically? Well, identify your wants versus your needs. And there is a prayer that I would love for you to get in the habit of, and I try to get in this habit myself. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8, the words of Agur, the son of Jakeh, the oracle. Verse 8 says, "Keep worthlessness and every false word far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion. Lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is Yahweh?' Or lest I be impoverished and steal and profane the name of my God." Guys, this is incredible to think through. Don't give me too much, lest I deny God. I don't want too much because then I think I'm awesome. My house in Beverly Hills is awesome. My Ferrari's awesome. It's like, oh yeah, I do need Yahweh, don't I? Huh, I forgot about that. Don't let me be broke. Some of you are like, amen, deliver me from my brokenness. Ramsey has this idea. He's like, I've been broke, but never been in poverty. You know, it's like a mindset. Yeah, there are seasons of life where we're strapped for cash. But think of, Lord, we don't want to have so little that we're tempted to steal or be dishonest or not report income on taxes. Lord, give us enough. Give us our daily bread. But we don't really want a whole lot else. Guys, I personally think of too much money like a liability. Like, oh no. Oh no. I got to get rid of this stuff. Like, I have to reinvest it. I want to be rich toward God. And in the times of brokenness, it has forced my wife and I to depend on the Lord. And guys, I'm a single income family. Like, everything that I earn is all that our family has. So there are times when it's like, well, we got $50 to get us through the next 5 days. Beanie weenies for everyone. So what do we say, Lord? What's our true need and what do we want? And I'm going to be content in what you give me. 1 Timothy 6, I believe it's verse 8, with food and clothing, those things we're content. Like, that's all we need. And your needs may increase over seasons of life. You know, if you have four teenagers at the house right now, just talk to your grocery bill and ask if it's gotten bigger. But then there are other seasons of life where you don't need that much. And you're just saying, Lord, you've given us so much and we don't need it. So we're going to be generous. We're going to reinvest in the kingdom of God. So identify your wants versus your needs. And your needs may go up for seasons of life. Number two, work unto the Lord while you're in your current circumstances, meaning there are seasons that are more transient and seasons that are more stable. And I am convinced that your 20s are pretty tumultuous. You're getting married, you're moving around multiple times, you're kind of starting a career, but you're not settled in it. Your 30s are less tumultuous. You're kind of locked into a position that has a career path. Your 40s, you're kind of dialed in and you know what you're doing and you kind of know what you're about. Your 50s, you're starting to think about 60s and your retirement and how to like set the stage for your kids to keep moving. So if you're a person that no matter, you know, you're in your 40s and 50s and you just keep bouncing between jobs and churches and houses every 3 to 4 years, I really do think that you have to pause and say, am I being faithful in my current circumstances? Guys, there are jobs that are just more transient. And I think if we're being honest about that, Hollywood is just around the corner from us. And a lot of folks in our church, like, it's seasonal. So they get work and then they don't have work. Or there are guys in sales that they have a job for a while, but then that product kind of changes and it shapes the future. But think those are usually the exception. Most of us have at least a direction in our field. I would be concerned more about churches. You know, you're moving churches. Or I would be concerned more about moving houses and neighborhoods. Like, you just have this unrest. So be faithful where you're at. And then take heed of your thoughts while you are currently in that position. So here are just some Jeremiah Burroughs comments for you. How do you fight for the truth and trying to put on contentment? Well, I'm faithful where I'm at, but here are the thoughts I have to renew my mind with, that God has me where I am to glorify Him. Not necessarily to be easy or not necessarily to get paid the most, but God has me where I am to glorify Him most. God is good and His timing is good. And He knew that these circumstances are exactly what I needed. So I'm going to trust His timing. So number one, God has me where I am to glorify Him. Number two, God is good and His timing is good. Number three, God gives me enough money, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Some of you are like, Gifford, you don't know. You don't know my budget. And it's like, yeah, I don't know your budget. But the promise in Hebrews 13, 5 is to actually be content in the context of money because God has given you what you need. What a shocking statement. Make sure that your way of life is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. God gives me the money He wants me to have. Don't think of that next job as the solution to all of my problems. In fact, I could get paid more and hurt my family, and I could take a promotion and never be at church again for the next 2 years. So you're thinking, that money may not be the solution, and it's not going to make me happy as soon as I have another zero added. God gives me the money that I need. Number four, the grass is never greener. It's not. I at times get angst and I at times think like, man, you know, like, is Masters the place that I should just keep investing in? And then I think like, Greg, no matter where you go, there is not going to be like this sweet life where there's no challenges. The grass is never greener. I have to fight for the truth that there are challenges and trials at every house, every ministry, every job. Renew your mind with that truth. So then whatever new promotion, new job, new ministry is not going to bring you lasting joy and contentment. You'll get to that new place and think, Lord, here we are again, and the clock is reset again, and now I'm not content. So my encouragement, guys, is if you are dissatisfied and you're struggling with contentment as you're listening to these, then work through this. Be faithful where you're at. Fight for renewing your mind. And at the end of that, if you still have an unrest and a desire to move on to the next thing, you can. You have Christian liberty to do that. But just make sure that you're doing so from a heart that's content. You're satisfied where you are, but you would be open to moving, or you would be open to that new ministry, but you don't have to be happy. That is where we want to be transitioning from this place of joy. Lord, we are happy where we're at, but if you want to move us, it is your call. You're more than welcome to do that. That is my prayer for myself. That's my prayer for my family. That's my prayer for my students here. And that's my prayer for you as Transform listeners, that you would be able to say, Lord, I'm totally satisfied where I'm at, but I really want your will ultimately in my life. So move me if you must. Let me pray for us, and we have to be done for today. Lord, it is very easy to talk about contentment, but it's very challenging to practice it. I know there are many listeners here that are in jobs that are hard, financial circumstances that are difficult right now, children that are wayward and marriages that are strained. Would you allow us to be individuals that are fighting for contentment? May we never keep thinking the next thing is going to make us happy. Help us to be content for your glory, but help us to hold those plans openly and ultimately say, if you want to move us, then you can do that. We trust you and we want to be faithful. Lord, give us the grace for that, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.